are on Daf Yud Zayin today, but we, because the movers asked, we had to end a little early. So let's do the last 10 lines or so on Tes Zayin and Beis, the Tana Rabbanan. So the Gemara quotes from the Braisa, Tana Rabbanan, Hiktim Ofer Lamayin Pasol. Let's say a person put the dirt in before the water when talking about Sota. According to the Tanakhama, this is Pasol, but according to Rabbi Shimon, he's Machshi, he permits one to do it out of order, even though ideally the Pasik seems to indicate water then dirt. A person does dirt then water, it's permitted according to Rabbi Shimon. My time with Rabbi Shimon, what's Rabbi Shimon's reasoning that he allows it to be done out of order? Dichsiv, the Pasik says with regards to the Meichat, that's the Paraduma, Vulakhu Litame Me'afar Srefas Achatas. You take from the dirt of the Srefas Achatas, and Tanya Amar Bishimon Vichyafarhu, is it really dirt? Halo Eferhu, it's really ashes. So Shina Kasa Bimashma Ladun Himano Gzer Shava. It changed from Afer to Afer in order to learn Gzer Shava. What's the Gzer Shava? Nemar Kan Afer. It says Afer with regards to the Parduma. Vinemar Lahalan Afer. It says Afer when it comes to the Sota. Malahalan Afer Agave Maim. Just like when it comes to the Afer of Parduma, the dirt on top of the water, you first put water on, then the dirt. Afkan Afer Agave Maim. So too when it comes to Sota, the dirt should be on top of the water. Uma kan hiktim afer lamayim kasher, just like I read the other way around. And that first point was just saying you have to put the dirt on top. But just like here, when it comes to Parduma, the dirt goes before the water. It's kasher, it's okay, not lechachila, but b'dievet, it works when it comes to Parduma. Af lahal, and so too with regards to Sota, hiktim afer lamayim kasher, it's also b'dievet kosher if you put the dirt in before the mayim. V'hasam menal, and how do I know that it works by Parduma? Parduma, you're supposed to put the dirt on top of the water. The water first, then the dirt. How do I know if I do out of order? If I first put the dirt, then the water, that works as well. So because it says Trey Kray Ksiv, it says two psukim. Ksiv alav on it am afer bereisha. First, you put, it says put the water maim alav. The pasuk says lachu latame me'afer sreifas achatas v'nasan alav maim chaim. You place the maim chaim alav on it, implies the dirt goes first. And ksiv maim chaim el keli, then into the water into the kli first. Sounds like an empty kli. Am a maim bereisha. Okay, it's on. Rotz is enosin, rotz is enosin. You could have the option. So when it comes to Paradum, you have the option of which order you wanted to do it in. Now when it comes to Sotin, it would also seem to indicate you have the option. Not only does it be the evidence okay for Rabbi Shimon, it sounds like even Lichachila one would be able to put the dirt in before the Maim with regards to Sota as well.
Yeah, it would seem that the first pasuk is much more conclusive than the second one, right?
I don't know. Is that necessarily true?
Because it says, put on top here, it just says, Maim Chaim El Keli.
But as Rashi says, El Keli, Mashma Maim Litzara Kli, V'lo Afer Chotz Bein Taim.
But it's not, I mean, right, okay. I mean, you just have to meet much more conclusive, the first one.
Right. But it sounds like, according to Rabbi Shimon, it sounds like he didn't think either one, and they're both good reads, and therefore you have the option. Rabbanan responded back, El Kli, El Keli, Dafka, Alav, Dafka, Alav, La'arvan. So El Keli, Dafka, Alav, La'arvan. El Keli means Dafka, you have to place it in the Kli without any water. So Rabbanan actually argue. Rabbanan think their Pashup shot is really the water goes first, because that's into the empty Kli. And the word Alav means La'arvan, and afterwards mix them together, and this way the dirt and the water. But the dirt has to go afterwards. Vey was like, wait a second, maybe Ricky is right. Ema alav dafka. Maybe alav really means it's the word water should be put on top of the dirt. The dirt should be the first. Maybe that's the dafka pasuk. And el keli shetei chiyusim bekli. And maybe the idea that chiyusim bekli, what does that mean, chiyusim bekli? Use his actual kli to draw up the water. Don't transfer for another water. That's what it means. Look to, in general, Rashi says, look at Sota, and we're saying, Rashi explains, the dirt is really what's machshir to mayim, livdokosa, the dirt is what gives the water the ability to check her, so it's the offer is the machshir, so just like when it comes to there, that the machshir, the dirt's on top, so too here. Rashi says, so too by dam tzipor as well, the machshir is the mayim lahazah, the blood is the machshir that goes on top. So too, when it comes to the case of Afar, of rather Sota, no, I'm sorry, Parduma, the Afar Parduma should go on top of the water.
And the same thing with
Sota and Damat Sipor. So all three, that the first, water first, and then first. The blood or the dirt. Okay, let's go to Yud Zayin now. Gemara says, top of Yud Zayin and Aleph, Mas Nisin. Balo lichtov es Megillah. Person's ready to write the Megillah that's going to be erased in the water of the Mesota. Me'ez makum hu kosef. From what point did you start writing? Which psukim are supposed to be included on the Megillah? Meviim lo shachav ish v'gomer. That's the pasuk in Parshas Naso that begins the. That's where you should start writing. Ves ki satisa tachas isheich. You write that pasuk. Ve'eno kosev v'shbiya kohen se isheich. You don't include that pasuk. And then because then you include the pasuk yitain Hashem oschal le'ela l'shalo shavua. Uva ma'im hamarim ha'ela b'mayecha l'tzvos beten and l'afil yerech. And then you write all that. But then eno kosev, you don't write the next pasuk of v'amar ha'isha amen amen. So the Mishnah tells you which psukim to include, which psukim not to include. This is a series of a few psukim in a row. Some were including, some were not. Come along with Yosi, Omer, Lohaya, Mafsik. You're not Mafsik. You write everything continuously without removing any of the psukim. You even include Vishpias HaKawain. You even include the Isha Amar Amen. Vihuda Amar, Kol Atmo, Eno Kosev, Eli, Yitain Hashem, Oscha, La'alu, L'shvua. No, the only right pasuk that you do write is that one pasuk you just quoted. You don't write the other psukim. Uva hamayim hamarim ha'elam mayach v'gomer ve'eno kosev amar ha'isha amen amen. So Yehuda slightly differently. It's hard.
We learned before that Rabbi Yehuda, since the Megillah is smaller, he holds that the water is less amount.
Oh yeah.
We learned that 2 days ago.
And that he's gone. So since he wrote.
When the one says release, and Rabbi Yehuda said less, so it explains because in the Megillah he says that he has a shorter Megillah.
I remember the Megillah part.
Yeah.
Oh right. Yeah. Okay, so he has less psukim than he includes. So Gemara wants to know, b'mai kumifk, what's the machlokas, which psukim to include, which psukim not to include? So b'hai kra kumifkli, they're arguing about the following pasuk. The pasuk says, again, in Parshas Naso, v'chasav es ha'alos, you write the alos ha'ila, ha'koin b'sefer. You write these alos, these swears, the koin writes these swears in the sefer. So Rabbi Meir, the first opinion of the Mishnah here, he's the Tanakama, Stam Tanakama. Rabbi Meir says, Alos Mamish. Alos means actual shruas. Ha Alos, Lerabos Klalos, Habalos Machmas Brachos. The word Ha Alos, the extra hey comes to include even the curses we have to explain, in addition to the swears, but it also has to include the curses that's going to happen to her. And Ela, these, is specifying, is coming to exclude Lemute Klal Shabbat Mishnah Torah. We do not include those that are mentioned in the Mishnah Torah in Sefer Dvarim in all those Alos, all those Klalos in Hargrizim Harivel. Ha Ela, the extra Hey, Ha Ela, is Lemute Tavos V'Kabbalos Amen. We don't include the commandments that the Kohen has to tell her to make the Shavuah, and her response of saying Amen, that's not included. So, very technical how to read the psukim. Comes on Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is a second opinion who says you write everything without interrupting. Kula kedikamris, everything like you said, I agree with. But then the word s lirabos tavos v'kabalos, the word s, we always, the Rabbi Shmuel always darshens s until he came to one spot he couldn't include s Hashem Elokecha, and he was parish from all the other s. Rabbi Akiva said no, s Hashem Elokecha comes to include tamid chachamim. But so Rabbi Yossi paskins, I guess like Rabbi Akiva, that s comes to include other things. It's coming to include even the tavos when they were describing that the kohen's mashbia her, and when she responds amen, that's also part of the Megillah that has to be included. And comes on Rabbi Meir, he says, Esim lo darish, he doesn't learn Esim. He doesn't learn the word Esim. Which is interesting, because Rabbi Meir, I thought, was the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. I thought so.
Rabbi Choros Vav. Because that's where the whole thing
is. Yeah, a few places this comes up. Okay, there's some discussion in the back about this. Anyway, so the Rebbe Meir does not learn the word S, and that's why he leaves out the Tzavos and the Kabbalos. Then Rabbi Yehuda, who's the last opinion, Kula Bimuto Darishlo. He uses all the words to exclude things. Alos Mamish, to include the actual swears. Ha Alos Lemeute Klalos Habalos Machmas Brachos. That comes to exclude the curses. Eila Lemute Klalos B'Mishatar, you don't include those. Ha'ela l'mute tavos v'kabalos. And therefore he knocks out a number of different things, and that's why he's the smallest of the Megillus. Rabbi Meir, Maishna hai hei dimarbe be, u'maishna hai hei dimarit be. One of the heis, ha'alos, comes to include, according to Rabbi Meir, and then ha'ela comes to exclude. So is hei an inclusive word or an exclusive word? So, hey the gabi the riboy ribohu. Hey the gabi mito mito. Hey is kind of takes on whatever word it's qualifying. If it's going on the word alos, which is including, then the hey is also coming to include. The word eila comes to exclude, so ha eila comes to exclude as well.
Interesting that there's no mesora on this, right? I mean, some kind
No, this is not so. I don't think it's a unique discussion about whether you're Darshan Hayes or not Hayes.
No, I'm talking more about the,
what was written. Oh, what was written? Yeah. Oh, that's, I guess not to. Not, yeah, it's interesting, but I imagine this didn't really happen that often.
Didn't Helni Amalka send in gold?
Yes, she did.
Put it in the Beis HaMikdash, right?
Yes, very good. Sure, she did.
Probably spent less money and did like Rabbi
Yehuda. Right. But in the end of the day, the Gemara said she only did Rashi Tevos.
Right.
She, it was,
that's
wasn't
right,
that
because you don't, you're not at the right.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. So you're saying, based on what we had then, shouldn't we have? I guess they didn't have access to it anymore.
Right.
Must have lost it. Okay. So Gemara says, "V'hal lesle the Rabbi Meir mechlala v'atashemeh hein." Does not have this this klal of when a negative thing is said, you could learn something positive from it. So what's this idea? So Rashi says, "Vaha." This is around 10 narrow lines up in Rashi. Vaha lesley.
I'm sorry. What is Rami Meir comes what? Rami Meir comes.
He says that the letter. He says, "Ela comes."
Rami Meir is not in the Mishnah.
Yeah, he's a Tanakama.
Oh, he's a
Tanakama. Yeah. So Rashi explains, according to Rabbi Meir, "Vaha lesley l'Rabbi Meir mechlala v'atashemehin d'shemein le debayit tenai kafel." He requires a tenai kafel, the tenan. Yes, the model of a tanaya, a stipulation, a condition, is based on b'nei gad b'nei ruvein. Has to be, you have to say, if this happens, X, Y, Z. If this doesn't happen, then the opposite. So, and therefore what? So what are we asking here? So how could he exclude, the klalos, the bad parts that are going to happen? Right, so all we conclude is the bracha that's going to happen to her. We also have to conclude if the pasuk says im lo shachav. If she doesn't im lo shachav ish, then all the wonderful things are going to happen. We should also have to include im shachav ish, the pasuk that describes if she was guilty, what's going to happen to her as well. You need both sides of the tanai for this to work. Which probably just interesting that this Megillah is being viewed as a tanai as taking place. I mean, that tanai, the requirement of tanai is when it talks about making a deal. There's no deal that's going on here. There's just some type of potion that she's drinking.
But it does say, no, it doesn't say on those words, but the Torah describes what happens to her if she did have.
Right, so that is exactly, but when we write it down to her, so that's not, we're not making a deal with her. If you did this and this, because the tanai always has to come before, one of the other rules is the tanai has to come before the maisa. There's no like, it's not a real typical tanai of kinyanim either.
No.
There's machlokas ramam and ravid, I believe, where the tanaim go outside the realm of mamonis. That's also a discussion. Everyone agrees it's by mamonis because that was the b'nei gad b'nei ruvein. There's apply elsewhere. It's applied by kiddushin and nisuin, gittin. That's a machlokas ramam and ravid, if I remember correctly. That's also another. So this is not mamonis here. So the truth is, it might be some level of mamonis. I'm just thinking out loud now. There's some Indian here of mamonis as well. The Gemara will discuss later on in daf chaf or so. There's a level of mamonis, but this is an interesting application of this klal of tanai. Exactly, the ksuba is part of it. And how does one categorize sot as a dini iser, dini mamon? This is a discussion we find in Tosfos later on. In the Gemara at the end of Perek and Shavuos, maybe, I don't remember exactly. But either way, so it's very interesting that they're applying this klal of tanayim here when it comes to sota. I wonder if anyone's omid on this. I'm not seeing anyone here right now. No Tosfos. Let me look in the back for 1 second before we get to the answer. So right now, as we see, the kasha is, though, how come Rabbi Meir is not including the Megillah, the half that if she doesn't listen, what's going to happen there? Only have if she didn't do anything wrong. If she's innocent, she's going to have bracha. But what about if she's guilty? Why is that not part included? Okay, nothing. All right, must not be a good question. Oh, no, that's... Oh, very good. Okay, they quote the Gemara in Shavuos I was talking about... Okay, very good. About Sota being a Dini Mamon and Dini Isser, as I was discussing. And Tosas asks, in that Gemara there... There's a whole big discussion connecting our Gemaras together. But they conclude from here, though, we see clearly that the klal of Tanaim do apply even to Dina Isser. Okay, so this is part of the overall discussion of Tanaim applying to Dina Isser as well. And if so, to consider Dina Isser, Dina Mamon, that's the Sugin Shavuos, and the Sugin later on we'll get to. So Gemara answers anyways, what's the answer? So Amar of Tam, Rabbi Tanchum, Hanaki Ksiv. What does Hanaki Ksiv mean? The last few narrow lines in Rashi, Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Hanaki Ksiv, below Yud. It doesn't have a Yud there. Dimashba, Hanaki Imlo Shachav. Visidro Shachi Toma, Tachas Ishech Chinki. It really should be Hinaki. The pasuk says Hinaki. It should be Hey Yud. It should be Hinaki Hey Yunud. But it says Hinaki without the Yud. Just Hey Nun Kuf Yud. So to tell me that Lashon Hinki, we switch the letter Hey Neches Hinki. We're doing this in the morning of the morning call. We learned the concept in Brachos here. Kodesh Hilulim Hashem Achle V'Hader Achle. The pasuk is that when you eat Netzer Vai, the fourth year fruits, you have to first pod it outside your shlaim and to eat it. And the Gemara says, Halel, Kodesh Hilulim, Lashon Hilul means to Chalel, to be Mechalel. You have to be Mechalel first, to desecrate it, to consecrate it onto something else, to be Podet. So the Rashi says, the Josh is, you switch the Hei Neches, that's we have throughout Shas, switching the Hei Neches. So here's another example, here in the Bavli.
So Netzer Vai, you're allowed to be Podet and stand in something else? Or not?
Yeah, if you're supposed to take it to Shalayim to eat the fruit. If you can't make it to your Shalayim.
It's like Master Shane.
Exactly, same exact thing. So this is an example. We switch the hey neches. Hinki should be chinki. There should be chenek. If she doesn't listen, she gets chanika. She gets strangled. That's a punishment for violating eishes ish. Gemara now says, Darish Rabbi Kiva, ish v'isha zachu, shechina b'nei.
Is that in the ksav that he's writing? Is that the point? Because you're putting this lashon of hinki in, that's why it's okay? Or is that telling you to only do half a time?
Say that again? No, he's saying that. No, that's part. That since this is hinki, which implies chinki, that's is the tanai.
That's the klal.
Exactly. That's the klal. That is the rames to the klal, and that's going to be enough to satisfy his requirement of tanai. Okay. I'm just looking at this tosis here. What time is it? Tosis is interesting. Actually, what we were discussing. Actually, we might have some time. Look at Tosos, Dibur Maskel, Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Hinki Ksiv. So I'll just do a Tosos meanwhile. So Rashi, Tosos says, Hacha, Perish Rashi, the Tidro Shachi Tuma, Tachas Ishech Hinki. The Drash, it says, we read as Hinki, that's the Kalala. Abba Basov, Perk Shuasa Eidos, Perish Hinki, below Yud, Kimo Hinki, Vikoyakra, the Basre. It's referring to a different Pasuk of Eski Satisa, the Mashma Hachi. Chinki mi maim hamarim ha'elav es ki sadisa hasam amar ki les leir meir. Fine. But hasam amar, when the Gemara there says in Shuos, ki les leir meir michlal avatashmehen bimamona. When does he have that cloud? When you have to actually articulate it. You cannot infer things, but you have to be very clear. That's when it comes to mamonas. But bi surah isle, but he allows one to make inferences when it comes to isser. Visota, isur disbe mamona. And sota, as I mentioned before, is this combination, this fusion of mamon and isser together. Vinisha Rabbi, fine. So that's part of the point here. So it sounds like that what? Not sure what point Tosis is saying, but that's the Gemara that implies that, that says rather, so it is both an Isser and a Mammon. We have other examples of Isser Mammon as well coming together. We have Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen is a good example of that. Pidyon HaBen, when the firstborn son, so the father has to give 5 silver coins to the Kohen, that's Pashas is Dina Mammonis. At the same time, the Gemara is referred to it as being mafrish and being pode your son, you're redeeming your son. Now, other than this cheskuni, I think, I'll tell her, no one thinks it's a real pidyon. Let's say I were not to redeem my oldest son, then there would not be an isser of him using any, you know, doing any avoda. There's no real isser to the son. It's just, the real thing is just giving, it's a nesina, it's a din mamonis to the kohanim. No one takes it that seriously. But there's some ideas that seem to indicate that it might be some davar isser. So the Gemara in Bechora says that there's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. I think about a situation. Let's say a person gave money towards the son before 30 days came. He gave the money too early. And then the father ends up dying. Does the son have to redeem himself afterward? Or was he yotze already? That's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. And where it says, Rav and Shmuel, halacha, kirav, when it comes to dinim, dinim amunis, but this is an exception. The question, what's the exception? So some say the exception is, even though this is a din mamon, we pass like Shmuel in this case, or this is an exception that this is not a din mamon, this is actually a din iser. So that's machlokes yeshorim. So how to categorize Peter and Ben, which is also the similar fusion of mamon and iser coming together. Fine, let's go back to the Gemara now. The Gemara now says, Darish Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva darshin the following. Ish v'isha zachu shechina b'neim. If man and woman, husband and wife, are zocha, they act properly with each other, to each other, then the shechina is among them. Lo zachu, if they're not zocha, eish ochlasen, they're going to be eaten and consumed by the fire. So, does Rashi point out, Rashi points out the Gemara Nivamos that we saw. Rashi says, he doesn't quote the Gemara Nivamos, but I believe it's the Gemara Nivamos. Rashi says the last narrow line, Shechina b'neim, sharei chelek es shemo, v'shechna b'neim, yud b'ish v'hei b'isha, right? They both consist of the letters eish. The man has the yud, and the woman has the hei. This is very, very important. The yud represents zachar, and hei represents nekeva. We find that, we know that to be true in terms of diktuk. And then, so you have yud and hei come together, that's yud, that's part of Hashem's name. Lo zachu eish ochlasan, she'akadosh baruch hu misalek shmo. He removes his name in b'neim. He removes the yud and the hay, and what's left of nimsu, eish v'eish, fire and fire. So the fire itself eats them. Yeah. I was going to quote this also for MSIM, about I was talking a lot about eish at the sim, how we each have the eish inside of us, the eish of the Torah, based on this Gemara here, but I didn't. So the Gemara says further now, Amar Rava says, ut isha adifa midish. And the woman is greater than that of the man. Hai mitzarif, hai la mitzarif. What does that mean? Tarashi says, V'deisha adifa midi'ish, eish shel isha kasha u'mimaheris lecho lifra mishel ish. The fire of the woman is stronger than the fire in the man because the letters Aleph and Shin are next to each other in the woman. But the letters Aleph and Shin are separated by the man between with the yud, and therefore it's not as quick to burn the man and woman. Now, the Gemara doesn't tell us what the zechus is, what they're zocha for. Again, some of the Rashi says earlier, I missed that Rashi. Rashi says zachu, a few narrow lines up. Zachu laleches b'derech yishar, they walk in the right way, the straight path. Shelo yehehu noif lo hi noefes. They have to act properly, of course, not be involved in adultery. So Amar Rava says, mipnei ma amri Torah hava e afar lesoda, zachta yotz mimenu ben kavram, avinu. A person who brings the dirt of a sota, and she was innocent, she's going to be zochet to have a child like Avram Avinu. The chsiv, as the pasuk says, and a few weeks ago we learned this pasuk, beiv afar ve'efer lo zach, v'afar ve'efer, lo zach to tachzer la'afara. If she's going to be zochet, she'll have the dirt, like Avram Avinu says, ani rak afar ve'efer, so she'll be zochet to ben like Avram. But if she's not zochet, she's going to return back to the dirt, to the afar itself. That's the idea why we use afar. So Darish Rava's darshan is the following. B'schar sh'amar Avram Avinu v'anochi offer ve'efer. From the schar, the great humility that Avram said when he was davening to Hashem for stone v'amorah, he said, so who am I? I'm simply dirt and ashes. That humility that he displayed, zachu banav l'shtei mitzvos, he was ochot to two very important mitzvos, efer v'offer, efer para, v'offer sota, the ashes of the paraduma and the dirt of the sota. Where it says, why dafka those psukim? Why dafka those mitzvahs? V'ha ikonami offer kisei adam. Why when we choose offer, referring to the offer of sota, maybe it's referring to offer of the mitzvah of kisei adam, like we discussed the other day. When it comes to shechting a chayin of, you have to cover the blood with offer afterwards. So the Gemara explains, ha'sam hechsha mitzvah ika hana lekum. There, when it comes to kisei adam, the covering up of the dirt is really a hechsha mitzvah. It's not, there's no hana involved. As opposed to the sota, there's a hana involved. What's the hana by the sota? So look at Rashi. Rashi, three wide lines down, maybe explains. Hana leka, when it comes to the kisei adam, there's no hana. Ve'ein ze kibul schar. You don't get schar for that. Not that there's no hana of like, enjoyment, meaning there's no hana schar. Aval kan yesh hana besote lasei shalom. Peace. That's this, the bracha, the hana itself is having shalom. V'shelo yarbe mamzerim b'yisrael imzonahi. And they shouldn't have many mamzerim. And if she's innocent, so she's going to have children. It's going to remove any of the bad rep that she had in her children. It's supposed to be purify people who are tamei. It's supposed to give a kapar for the paraduma. But when it comes to kisei dam, it's nothing. It's simply a hechsher mitzvah alma. What's a hechsher mitzvah? So it's interesting. Kisei dam comes after the shechita. Usually a hechsher mitzvah is prior to the maisa. Here the kisei dam is taking place after. It's a hechsher that's post facto. Now interesting also, there's a big discussion, one of the Rabbeinu Chananel, there's no Rabbeinu Chananel here. The sugya is the parak kisei dam, talk about how connected kisei dam is to the shechita. is Kisei Dam an independent mitzvah after you've done the Shechita? There's now a new mitzvah of Kisei Dam? Or is Kisei Dam viewed as a Gemar Shechita? So the Sugis and Beah have a little bit of a debate there. There's a Machlokas Rashi Rabbeinu Chananon, which seem to debate this very point of whether it's considered a Gemar mitzvah or whether it's really a Hechsher mitzvah, like the Gemar here indicates.
But we learned the thing that if the Afar is covered by the wind, then it's, as long as it doesn't get uncovered again, then it would be good enough. So that,
correct.
Right? So there is no real meaning that it kind of shows that the whole idea is that it should be covered, not that somebody should actually be covering
it. But even if it could be covered, it doesn't mean it's not a continuation of it. That's a different question. Is the obligation of being covered a chefza or about me having to do it?
Right.
Even if it's about the chefza, it could still be viewed as a continuation of the shechita, even though I hear it. It's a good point, actually. If I have to do the Shechita, well, the Shechita also is not about me, it has to be Shechita.
Oh, it's done, yeah, that's true.
So I'm not so sure if it... It's a different point, though. Okay, so the Gemara says, that's what we learn from Vani, Anochi Afar Ve'efer. The Gemara now says, another drasha, Darish Rava B'schar Shama Avram Avinu, Imichut V'ad Tzrochnal, another wonderful display of humility of Avram Avinu. He said, if I will take from a string to a shoelace from Malki Tzedek, and I'm not going to take anything from you because you're going to say that you're the one who made Avram Avinu rich. I don't want you getting that credit. So because of that statement, Zachu Banav L'Shem Mitzvah, see, the children were Zocha to two special mitzvahs, Chutsha Techeles, Ritzua Shal Tefillin, the strap of Tefillin and the strings of Techeles. Bishma Ritzua Shal Tefillin, I understand, Echziv V'ro'o, Cholamei Haaretz, Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Lecha, the people of the land are going to see that Shem Hashem is called upon you. Vitanya Rabbi Elazar Gadol Omer Eilu Tefillin Shebarosh. That's referring to the Tefillin Shebarosh. So therefore what? What's the... Oh, that's the Schar. That's the Schar. The Schar is we're going to have. The people are going to fear Hashem. What's the Schar of Tcheles? Elachut Shal Tcheles Mahi. What's the Schar you get from Tcheles? What's a great Zuchus? So the Tanya... Hiya, Rabbi Meir Omer, ma nishana tcheles mikol minei tzevonim mipnei shetcheles dom liyam. What's so unique about the special color of tcheles? Because it's similar to the water. The yam dom lirakia, and the water is similar to the rakia. Rakia dom lirakisei kavod. Shinemar vayiru esel okei yisol v'tachas raglav kimasei levanos ha-sapir. Uche etzem ha-shemayim l'tayar. Uksiv kemari evan sapir demos kisei. But based on all these psukim that the kisei kavod is like the sky, and the sky is like the water, all these different things. And that's the great schar. So what's the schar in all of that?
Interesting that he could have just said that it's a techele domele mashamayim.
Right, that's they point this out. No, they're wonderful drushes about why exactly that works.
Because it's like an extra step that wasn't necessary.
Right, I heard once an explanation for this. I don't remember what it is, though. But Rashi explains, though, if you look five lines up from the bottom, Rashi explains, Shetcheles dom liyam. Okay, who cares? So it's similar to the water, it's similar to the kisei kavod. What does that do for us? What's that schar? Says Rashi, Bal lamdenu, come to teach us that shechkol hamakayim mitzvah tzitzis ki'ilu hikbil p'nei shechina. When I'm wearing tzitzis with tcheles, it's as if I'm being mekabel the shechina, mekabel the kisei kavod, and that's the wonderful schar involved in tcheles. Okay. Says the Gemara now. The Gemara says, the new Mishnah, the Mishnah on the bottom, the last line says, Eino kosev, you cannot write lo al haluach, you can't write on a board of some sort, shel eitz, Rashi says, lo al hanir, not a shel asavim, so, of grass. Now, our paper comes from different places, our grass comes from wood, it would be the same thing, but back then, the Egyptian paper came from, I think it's called papyrus, that's where paper comes from, some type of reed. When I was in Egypt, that a few days I spent in Cairo, we went to a papyrus store. We took out papyrus that grew in these reeds, and then we put them in water. You soaked them in water, and they end up getting like very sticky, and you're able to press them to each other in the water, and then you take it out, and it kind of like, I guess, paper machete. You let it dry, and it hardens, and in a way to use it as paper.
Paper mache.
So the same idea of paper mache, where when they're wet, they're very gluey and sticky, and then they dry up and harden. That's how papyrus works. I imagine that's what Rashi is referring to here as the asavim, the grass. Actually, look at Rashi says the whole thing. Look, Rashi niyar shel asavim shekotzen umedapkin osam bedvak. They glue them actually, but the papyrus that has this natural glue shekorin glid glue veosin kamo or like a piece of leather. You can't write it on this grass, this papyrus. Let's call it blow out. What do they call it? They just say paper there, probably. They call it paper.
Yeah, papyrus.
They do say papyrus.
No, English speakers should know that word.
Okay, English speaker. Am I an English speaker? Was paper machete?
No, that's French. But the Egyptian word you knew was very
okay. Below al ha diftera, and they shouldn't write on a diftera either. Diftera is part of the skin, the part that you can't use. Rashi explains, or she'ena me'ubad kol tzorcha demiliach v'kmiach v'lo ofitz. When you take the leather of an animal, you have to do there's a process. You have to salt it first, and you have to put some kmiach, I think some type of flour, something part of the process. And you also have to do ofitz. Ofitz is like a final glaze, I think, you put on it. So you didn't do the full process of this. That can't be used either. It has to be completely the ibud, the tanning, the whole process has to be done to the final end. El al Megillah, you have to use a Megillah. Now what's a Megillah? Megillah is something that is has the leather process. Was everything, every stage was done to it properly. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, b'sefer, and some of the word b'sefer means beklaf, says Rashi, a cloth that we use for Torah, for the Sefer Torah, for Megillah, for Mezuzah, for Tefillin. So that's what can be used. Only that one item can be used. V'eino kosev lo b'komos, you can't use a komos. Rashi says komos is a sraf ha'ilan, and some of the sap from the tree.
Now we're talking about the ink.
Exactly, the ink. Vlobe kan konsum, which Rashi says words I don't know. A black type of ink that comes from Megifris. Any English on that? Fine. That was, Gafris from Melech. From, right, from Stone Ben Amora. That's how the Gafris from Melech, the pasuk says. Not anything else that makes a mark. The only thing you could use is ink. Now, what ink comes from a number of places. Rashi says, elabdio shalanu shel sraf, our ink. It doesn't say sraf is also some type of sap. So, I'm not sure exactly what it comes from. But it has to be used, the ink that's used by Sofrim. Shenemar umachol ksav shiachol limchos. Has to be a type of ink that can be erased. And I guess the ink is the only thing, the dio is the only thing that's able to be erased. If you, whatever else it is, won't work. Okay. The Gemara now says, Amar Rava, Megillah Sota Shekosva, Belaila Psula. If you write the Sota at night time, it's possible. My time, what's the reason? Osya Torah Torah. It says the Gzeir Shava. And the Kohen writes for her, the woman, the Sota, he writes the entire Torah. Not the entire Torah, the entire Megillah, but we refer to it as the Torah, the pasuk says. Over there it's written, Al-Pi Torah Asherucha Val-Mishpat. Ma Mishpat Bayom. Just like when it mentions Torah there, it's the context of Mishpat. And Mishpat only takes place by Yom. Af Megillah Sota Bayom. So too, the writing of the Sota has to take place by Yom. So this is a very important part. That when you look at the Me Sota, the drinking of the water, how much is this really viewed as an onesh? Or is it really viewed as a mishpat, a din Torah that she's going through right now? So one would think that the mesot is her punishment, it's the way of getting her punishment, and if she's innocent, so it's going to be bracha as well. But it's not necessarily testing her, it's not viewed as a bezdin, but Rashi, the Gemara says, it's really viewed as a mishpat, and there's a halacha, there's a nafkamina that can only be done by Yom. Just like mishpat's only done by Yom, so too the writing can be done by Yom as well. Now it's referring to the writing, not the drinking at this point. That's a little bit further, and then there's an important tosos to read here. I believe. Yeah, let's read the Tosos now, actually. Tosos writes, the first wide line, Tosos, Ma Mishpat Bayom Af Megillah Sota Bayom, Kol Masa Sota Yalfinu Mehacha, all the stages of Sota are learned from here, Beperek Beis De Megillah, Daf Chafa Mebeis, the Mishnah Chafa Mebeis, and Megillah tells us, Kol Mitzvah Hayom have to do in daytime, and all the Mitzvahs at night have to be done during the nighttime. So the Mishnah, the Tosos says, we learn from here that Hashka Bayom, not only does the writing have to take place by Yom, like the Gemara says, but even the drinking has to take place by Yom as well. Rashi explains, Perish, Ma Mishpat Bayom, B'Sanhedrin, Nafkalam B'Vayom, Vayom B'Yom Hanchilas Banov. Based on the pasuk, the Sanhedrin, Gemara Sanhedrin brings, that Mishpat is taking place by Yom, and so too, the Hashka, the drinking has to take place by Yom as well. That's Rashi Shita, in Megillah. Says Tosos, V'lo Mistafer, this doesn't make any sense. Oh, B'Taraksiv, Gavi Zakin Mamre. It's referring to Zakei Mamre, where the member of Sanhedrin goes against the entire other parts of all the other members of Sanhedrin. The Mishtai B'dinei Nefashos. It's referring to Dinei Nefashos. Zakei Mamre gets killed. The High Kra B'yom Henchilu Mishtai B'dinei Mamnos. Rashi brings a raya. How do I know that Mishpat has to take place by Yom? So Rashi says, based on the pasuk of B'yom Henchilu, which is referring to giving out Nachla, Dinei Mamnos, the Basin Shel Gimel. But says, tells you can't bring a raya from Basin Shel Gimel. We're referring to Dine Mishpat. And the Pasuk Gemara here brings is referring to Dine Nefashos. It's based on another pasuk referring to dinei nefashos. So Vinir Ali says Tosfos, the whole din sota bein gemar bein tchila possible laila. Every single stage, the beginning, the end, all has to be done bayom. And if it's done by laila, it's possible. Dumi the dinei nefashos v'lo k'dinei mamnes k'tchias din bayom v'agmar din nefi b'laila. But according to Tosfos, concludes the entire din sota. How do we categorize sota? Is sota din mamnes? Or is it dinei nefashos? That's the machlokes. Rashi thinks it's dinei mamnes. And that's why Rashi brings the source of biyom hinchilu. And it sounds like from Rashi, if you completed it by Laila, it actually would be okay. As long as the tchila took place, as long as you started writing it, it sounds like Rashi might think you could have him. Well, he says you can't. But maybe at some stage can take place by Laila. But Tosa says, no, it's dinei nefashos. She might die here. It's dinei nefashos. And therefore, every single stage of the process of sota must take place during the daytime. And that's why we learn from a source of dinei nefashos that has to dafka be by yom. Interesting machlokas here. Now, why Rashi call this dinei mamnas? Very strange that he call this dinei mamnas. So that's what we were saying before, that no, since the ksuba is a relevant factor, Rashi may categorize this as a dinei mamnas. Okay, let's keep going. The Gemara now says, five lines up, kosfa lemafre. Let's see, you write it out of order. Psula, it's also possible you have to write them in the right order the way it appears in the pasuk. Dichsiv the kosfa ha'elos, ha'alos ha'ela, dichi ki tiksiva. So, 1 second here. The way it's written, not because, but the way it's written. You have to write it, the kasva sa'ala sa'ila, these should be written as they are written in the Torah. Let's say, kasva kodem shetekaba la shvua psula. Let's say you write it before she accepted the shvua. That's also possible. Shenemar vishbiya v'harkach v'chasav. First she takes the shvua, and then the pasuk says she does the ksiva. Let's read a little bit further, I guess. We go a few lines down to Yudchesam and Aleph. Let's say Kasva Yigeres, she writes it as a letter, like a Megillah is supposed to be. That's Psula, because Rashi says Yigeres below Sirta, without the lines. There's Sirta, these lines that go on in the Sefer Torah and the Mezuzah and Tefillin. Tefillin doesn't really need it, but we do it anyway. It's going to make things neat. Mezuzah does require it. So too, Sota requires it because it says B'Sefer Amarachmana in a Sefer. And Rashi says B'Sefer Amarachmana Halacha L'mosh Mesinai Sheh Svarim Tzichon Sirta. All the Svarim require Sirta. The Sefer Torah requires Sirta. Then the Gemara on the top of Yud Chesam and Aleph says Kosva Shnei Dapin. Let's say you write them in two separate pieces of paper. That's also Psula because it says Sefer Echad Amarachmana V'los Shai M'Shlosh Svarim. On one Sefer it says Sefer. That's one, not Svarim. And therefore two or three pieces of paper will be disqualified. Kosev os achas, umachak os achas. Kosev os achas, umachak os achas psula. You write one letter, erase it, that's also possible. Dichsiv asala la hakoin es kolatarzos. Everything has to be written there first and then erased. But to write it and erase in the water, write and erase in the water, that's not going to work.
It seems here that brings an interest in that it says in Gittin also says separate echad. Or in Gittin, you can do a few, right?
Oh, that you're allowed to.
Yeah, so there's a whole limut here.
I see in the bottom here. Tosus talks about this. I see. That's Tosus' kasha in the bottom of Yidzayon and Beis.
That's why it's so long.
Right. Okay, Shkoyach.
Shkoyach.
Good Chodesh.
Do you use the felt, or you use white?
I